Okay, Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you're here today, either physically or by live stream. This is for Zion's Sake Ministry, which is Eri Yehuda here in Bristol, Virginia. We've got a loud but a small crowd today because of the weather. We've got had some snow in the area, a little bit of cold temperatures, and so if you're live streaming with us today, we welcome you. We'll be going to the table of the Lord shortly during the service today, so if you want to prepare for that, and we will be making some more announcements, but I just wanted to mention one. We were supposed to have a special guest speaker this morning, and his name was Yochanan Marcelino. He's from Galilee of the Nations down in Nashville, Tennessee, which is a messianic recording company that he founded in Israel and moved it to the U.S., but he is not here today. He will be here next week. But we anticipate that him coming next week. So our service this morning will be just a little bit because the Rabbi Joseph is in down at the Mayo Clinic in Florida having tests run. So our prayers are with him today. I did speak with him this morning, and his blood counts are low. But other than that, he seemed to be in good spirits, and the testing seemed to be going pretty good. So just keep that in mind. And then on next week, we'll have the regular Shabbat service, but on Sunday at 1 o'clock, we'll have a Purim teaching to have the Purim service. It'll be just a teaching on the Purim, and then after the Purim service, we will have a Purim tea social. Not sure what that is, but the ladies know what it is. So we'll be having some Purim treats after the service next Sunday. We'll start about 1 o'clock. And we invite everyone to come if you can. That would be great. So this morning we're going to start with our music, with, I believe, Shabbat Shalom. Blessings of the Messiah. Get that up there. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Yumelech haolam, Asher natalan derech HaYeshua Mashiach Meshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah, Yaakov, Mishkenotecha, Israel.
done, I will come into your house. There I will bow. There I will feel thy holiness, O Lord.
O Lord, I love the house where you dwell, in the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Okay, the Vishamru. I don't believe we have that recorded. We don't have that recorded, do we, Carol? Okay. Buvenei Israel et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-do a-tambourine do-alam vishamru venei Israel et ha-shabbat
La so de tashabat le do a tambourine ho lam.
B'nai, oh, b'nai, b'nai Israel, b'nai Israel, oh, heli olam.
Vishamru, b'nai Israel, eh, hashabat. La so de tashabat le do a tambourine do alam.
Kikeshet amin,
asa Adonai, asa Adonai, shamayim mi'aretz. Vishamru, b'nei Israel, et hashabat. La sodet hashabat le dorot tambourine lo alam.
The oyam hashavi shavat nina fash, shavat nina fash, shavat nina fash.
Vishamru b'nei Israel le hashabat. La so de tashabat le do a tambourine lo lam. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them. Prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we stand toward Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace.
Aleichem.
pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day on Shabbat, and we just ask your blessings upon this service. We ask that you bless the message today, Lord. Bless our music. Bless our worship, Lord. Bless our offering today, Lord. We pray for the land of Israel that you will provide, the angels will surround it and provide extra protection and care for the Jewish nation, Lord, that the rockets and the attacks will fall into the desert, go back to where they came from, or land into the ocean or the seas there in that area, Lord. We just pray that you will bless the Messianic communities around the world today. Bless the rabbis, the speakers, bless their dance, bless their worship, and bless their message today, Lord, and bless them financially. And we ask that you help us today, Lord, and bless us financially as we still have problems and things that we've got to deal with in the fellowship hall, Lord, with the flooding that we've had. And we just pray for our protection upon our property here in Bristol, that you will bless and protect it and keep it from harm or any damage, Lord. And may the elements not touch us, Lord, as in the desert, Lord, with the Israelites, you protected them with a cloud by day and a fire by night, Lord. And we just ask that you will surround us today with that cloud and that fire, Lord, that we will be protected and bless and protect our congregation today, Lord. We ask that you also bless Rabbi Joseph today, Lord, as he's in Florida at the Mayo Clinic, Lord, that the tests will prove that your healing touch has been upon his body and has touched him and healed him, Lord, and bless him. Bless his family, Lord, while he's away, that you will be extra careful to them, Lord, and give them an extra covering, Lord, of protection, that no harm will come to them, Lord, even while he's gone and even though he's here, but protect and bless them today, Lord. We ask your blessings upon our service this morning, and we, in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, to bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Hallelujah.
Gracious, O Lord our God, to your people Israel, and accept their prayers. Restore the worship of Israel to your sanctuary, and lovingly and favorably receive the prayers, the offerings. May the service of your people, Israel, always be acceptable to you. May you see your return to mercy to Zion, for deserving all the praise of you, O Lord, who restores your divine worships to Zion. Stand, please stand for the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malhuto Leoam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen. Okay, we're gonna do Mika Moke, and then we'll alter the service just a little bit. Believe Adonai, Mika Moke. To that ancient question, Ankamoka Valim Adonai Valim Kamaseka Malkuka Mukuka Olamin Umi Sharpaka Vador Dorvador Adonai Melech Adonai Melech Adonai Lok Leowam Baez Adonai Os Leomo Retain Adonai Varechetamova Shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace. Okay, you all can be seated. We're going to go to the announcements. The message this morning will be the drosh, and we'll do that after we have worship and dance. But the announcement this morning, because I've already mentioned about Rabbi Joseph at Mayo Clinic, Yochanan Mosolino will be here next week. He's the owner or the founder of the Galilee of the Nations. It's a music messianic music producing company that he founded, I believe, in Galilee, Israel, and he's moved it down to Nashville. But if you love Israel and you want to support Israel, then you have a chance this Monday and Tuesday. We will be sending out, we will be working with Vicki and folding and mailing the monthly newsletter that Rabbi has prepared. And that will be Monday and Tuesday. Carol, I don't know what time they're going to start, probably 9:30. So if you love Israel and you want to do something to support Israel, this is a great time. You can come and help us as we fold and put them in the envelopes and get them prepared to be mailing. And Vicki will be working with that. She works in the office here, and she will be sort of spearheading that to get it all done. Okay, on March the 8th, which is next week, I believe next Sunday, we'll have a service that's starting at 1 o'clock, and it'll be our Purim service. It'll just be a teaching. And then after the teaching, we're going to have some Purim snacks, and we're going to have a Purim tea social, is what I'm going to call it, tea party, whatever. I imagine at a tea party they serve tea, but I'm sure we'll have coffee and maybe some soft drinks and other things that will follow the teaching of Purim next week. That will be on the 8th. Now, we'll still have our regular Shabbat service on Shabbat on the 7th, and that will be by Yochanan Mosolino will be the speaker there. So he wasn't able to get here this week, and so he'll be here next week. And so we're going to give you a chance to bring your tithes and offerings this morning, if you all would do that. And I think Carol's got, I'm going to pray, and then she has an offering song. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We ask you to bless this offering today, Lord. We ask you to bless gift and giver, Lord. Give us a good measure, pressed down, shaken, and our cups will run over, Lord, as you bless us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Our Father, our King, Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. We enter your rest and your praises we sing. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. Out a day when you'd rest from your work. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. You brought forth a nation from Abraham. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. And spared his son Isaac, providing the ram. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, delight, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, delight, we delight in your Shabbat. Prophets foretold that Messiah would come. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. Shema Israel, the Lord God is one. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. When your work was done, Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. We enter your rest by the work of your Son. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. And the sparrows you feed. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. You Elohim provide every need. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. Delight in your Shabbat. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight.
Hallelujah! Delight in his Shabbat.
We're going to worship service.
I will be wise, accepting your shelter. No more will I have to fear. I will be here in your arms. Your name is above all powers, above all things. Your name, you are the blessed Prince of Peace. Your name. No more will I have to fear. I will be here in your arms. No more will I run from you. I will be wise, accepting your shelter. No more will I have to fear. I will be here in your arms. Your name
above all power.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was really good. Very, very beautiful words from God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, we're going to go before, do the table of the Lord, the Shelkanah Adonai. And, you know, we're called to prepare ourselves for this because we're not supposed to come unworthy. And this morning, if you're here or if you're live streaming and you've never met Yeshua, Jesus, that he's probably more known by, I hope you'll take this opportunity to invite him into your life, into your heart, and let him become a part of your heart this morning. And if you do that, you can call the office, or you can go to the website, I believe, and leave a message, and we will rejoice with you. And also, I believe we send a little gift out to you, so we encourage you to do that, because today's the only day that you have. You don't have yesterday, it's gone, and tomorrow may not come. So the only time you have is right now. You don't have you don't really have the next breath that you breathe unless God gives it to you. So you only have right now, this time. So we just asked you to do that. So Diane's going to help me serve this morning. And after we have the table, then I'll bring the drosh / message this morning. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, when Yeshua fulfilled the Passover, it was forever changed because, you know, as he broke the bread, shortly thereafter, he would be broken. And it's interesting to note that, you know, he dined, he observed that Passover with someone who would deny him and also someone who would deceive him. Within just a short period of time, he was deceived and he was denied by Peter. So that's just something to think about. It was a table of affliction, no doubt about it. So this morning, as you come, I'll say the blessing over the emblems this morning, and then you can prepare yourself. And Diane's going to help me this morning serve you. And of course, Yeshua, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And he broke that middle loaf, which represents him. And he said, "Brukatadonai Elohein, Yumelech Haolam, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And Yeshua is the bread of life." He took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant. It's my blood. It's the Brit Hadashah." And he blessed it and he said, "Brukatadonai Elohein, Yumelech Haolam, Borei Pori Hagafin." Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine, and Yeshua is the true vine. So come this morning as you're ready, and we will partake of the table of the Lord, the Shulchan Adonai. Thank you.
Yeshua, Mashiach Adonai. Yeshua, Mashiach Adonai. My heart has Yeshua. My heart has turned toward you. My path leads me to your land. My future is in Zion. Eternity is in my heart. La la la. Yeshua, Mashiach Adonai. future is in Zion. Eternity, it's in my
Thank you all for coming out this morning. It's been a little snowy here in the area. The Williams over North Carolina, they got quite a bit of snow over there. They sent me a picture this morning, and I guess it's from the back of their house. You could see the snow and the mountains, and so they got a little bit of snow, so they're not here this morning. But so we are here this morning. Of course, I always try to stay prepared because you never know. Like this time, the speaker wasn't able to come, so I always try to keep a couple of things in my sack back here just in case. You never know. Be prepared, I guess, maybe the word, but sometimes I'm not prepared at all times, but this morning. So I thought I was going to do the I was going to do Purim this morning, do a teaching on Purim. And I said, well, we're going to do that next week, so I hate to repeat myself next week. So I just decided that we would make the drosh this morning would be the message, and hopefully it won't last too awfully long. But today's parasha or the drosh is coming from Exodus chapter 25, and it's called Terumah, and that means, it means contribution, but it also means to lift it up, to lift your offering, your contribution up to God. And I'm just going to read a couple verses this morning out of chapter 25. And Adonai said to Moshe, tell the people of Israel to take up a collection from me, accept a contribution from anyone who wholeheartedly wants to give. The contribution you are to take from them is to consist of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, and fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones, and other stones to be set for the ritual vest and the breastplate. That's talking about the Kohanim. They are to make me a sanctuary so that I may live among them. You are to make it according to everything I show you, the design of the tabernacle and the design of its furnishings. This is how you are to make it. So God is speaking to Moses. You know, with Moshe, he never approached God unless God called him first. And we see, you know, Aaron's two sons, when they anoint the tabernacle, they went in and took strange fire, and of course they were consumed from the inside out. So God has a plan for the tabernacle, and God has a plan for each of us for our lives. There's a plan, a divine blueprint of what God expects. And of course, this is from Exodus 25, chapter 1 through 27. Not a very long parsha today, but they're still there at Mount Sinai, and God has taken Moshe up, and He has shown him the things that are partaking in heaven, the things that He wants him to be able to do. And you know, when they build this sanctuary, this Mishkan, it was built in the desert, in the wilderness. So they didn't have all the modern conveniences that we have, electricity and all these different kinds of power tools and things like that. To build something, they built them. God had to give them divine abilities to build this Mishkan, this tabernacle, per his instructions. He wanted it built a specific way. And so we see that today. You know, when he's saying, make for me a sanctuary and I will dwell in your midst. That's what God wants to do. He wants to dwell in our midst today. He wants to dwell here in this building. It's an imperative command. It's a decree from God that he is wanting to establish his superiority and his preeminence to all of us. Because God, there is but one God, and he has told us that there is but one God, and it is he, and there is no other. Other people, there's other gods out there, but they are made from stone and rock and marble and wood, various things are made. And you know, it doesn't, you know, and again, a god can be money or anything like that too. That can be a god. It's anything. I always tell people, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. So if your heart and your treasure is in your bank account, then that's your god. That's what you're setting your sights on. So it's a divine, God gave them a divine suggestion. It was a proposal from God. And you see, when they built this tabernacle, and it was portable because it was one that they were going to be able to move. And when you look at this tabernacle, you can see that it is a shadow of the HaMikdash, which was later to be the temple that would be built in Jerusalem many years later. But the tabernacle, the tent of the meeting, was a portable thing that was able to be moved, and wherever they set it down, the ground that the tabernacle set up on became holy, because God's presence would come and dwell within the tent. Because if you read in the scriptures, you can see where the tent would breathe. It would move in and out as God breathed. So God breathes, so he's alive. So they could see the tent moving as God was there, and it became holy ground. That's why the priests, when they went into the tent, would take their shoes off, because of the ground was holy, just like the burning bush. God told Moshe to take his shoes off because the ground was holy. Where he's at, it's holy. That means there's nothing foul or nothing evil that can constitute where he stands and where he's at, where his presence is. It has to be holiness. And that is the way we have to be when we stand before God. We will have to come and be holy before him. So everything is very detailed, and he asked them about everything. He tells them about everything that I've read that goes into the tabernacle. And as I already said, you know, that it's a shadow. It's another one of the mysteries of God, that it talks about our personal resources that we have. They are very special resources that we have, and it's about what the potential that our resources have to serve God. That's what this Terumah is talking about. It's talking about us and what we do with what God has blessed us with. Is it used for potentially for God, or is it wasted and squandered on the world? That's what this shadow means. How are you handling and dealing with the things God has given us? Because today, as we look, we are all vessels of God. And we see, if you read this Torah portion today, you'll see that there were three types of offerings that God instructed the Israelites to bring forth for him. And the first one was, it was called the shekelim, and that was a perpetual offering of one half shekel. And that was used in the tent of the meeting, later into the sanctuary, the temple. And that was to be used for the upkeep and for animal sacrifices. That would be the sacrifices that the priests would make, that from behalf of the people, not the ones that the people would bring. And that was a perpetual offering that was given each year, would be the half shekel. And then the adonim was a one-time offering, And again, that was a half shekel, and that was used specifically for the sockets that was used in the tabernacle. If you read about the tabernacle, it's quite amazing of all the things that went into the making of the tabernacle. They read about all the different things, how that was put together and made. It's truly a remarkable story. And the third offering was, again, another half shekel, and that was for the materials and the coverings. And again, that was a one-time offering. But God is wanting that sanctuary to be built. And he wanted it to have an established place, which was later on was going to be the temple. So I'm speaking from two different things here, so bear with me. And it was not just the building, it was the concentration of God in our lives, our efforts, our possessions. All that we have relates back and comes from God. We have nothing without him. Even our breath that we breathe, without he made our lungs work and our heart, we would not survive without God. And we have to lift that up to him. But what was the purpose of the one-time offering? The half shekel was very important because it was going to be the foundation of the tabernacle or the tent of the meeting. It was what the rest of it would sit upon, the poles and all the draperies, the skins, all those things, the fine and the stones that were used, all of those were part of making it the foundation. But the foundation that it all rested upon was the sockets. That was the foundation. And it's important to note that was a one-time gift, and all gave. It was one that came from each and every one. That was the foundation. And by being that part of giving to God, it was a sign of the submission to God's will, because he said again, build me a sanctuary that I can dwell among you. It reflects this Mishkan in the sockets are an important part of it, because it's the foundation. It's what it all rests upon. If it wasn't for the sockets, when they put it up, it would have collapsed. But the sockets reflect our faith. And it's our faith in God that all are equal. That's why God said, bring, each one of you will bring me an offering of a half shekel. And this tent of the meeting, it became the shadow of something that was to be in the future. I'm sure Moshe probably knew that eventually they would sell in the land at some point and they would build a physical structure. But right now it's a shadow of what would be built later on. And everything, every offering that was brought to the tabernacle for the building of it came from the heart. They were very generous. You know, when they gave, Moshe had to, a lot of the things that they brought, Moshe had to stop, and this is the later on Parsha, but he had to stop and say, you've given enough, we have more than enough. That would be something great if that could happen here, if we had to say, you've given so much, we don't have any more we don't have anywhere else to put all the money, we're out of banks. But that's out to be seen. But you know, that's what happened. They gave and they gave and they gave. But the important thing to note is they gave from their heart. God didn't twist their arms. They came forth and gave. So it was based upon their condition of their heart. And we see Yeshua in Acts chapter 20. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, I've heard a lot of people say, in other words, to receive something, you have to let what you have go out of your hand in order to take possession of something else. You can't hold it. And I was reading a story about this particular type of monkeys that a lot of the zoos want to exhibit that live in some part of Africa, and they're very hard to capture. But how they capture them, they cut a hole in a gourd, and the monkey will go in, stick his hand in, he gets the seeds, and he won't let go. He can't pull his hand out, but he won't let go. And so they catch him. So you got to let go in order to receive. So that's how they catch him. They tried nets and other things, but the people that lived there knew how to catch those monkeys, because they were very possessive of their possessions, and they wanted those gourd seeds or whatever, I'm going to say pumpkin, whatever, and they wouldn't let go. Once they got a handful, they couldn't pull it out because It was too tight for them to get out. Hard, unusual way to get caught, but that's how they catch them. They're a very beautiful animal that a lot of the zoos and animal habitats won't want to exhibit them. And in James, we see in the second chapter, it says the body without the spirit is dead. Your spirit is what makes you go. That's you, really. That's your soul, is your spirit. And we'll see, you know, in looking at the tabernacle as they constructed this thing and they put it together, it's another shadow of life and death, because of the way that they put the tabernacle together as they moved. And then when God would tell them to move again, and of course they only moved at God's telling. They didn't just pack up and say, well, we're going to leave in the morning, because you got to realize you're dealing with probably a million people here, maybe more, maybe a little bit less. But you have to get all these people moving at one time, and it was quite an ordeal. So I imagine it took days for everybody to get walking. I'm not sure, but I'm just thinking probably it did. Time that many people packed up their personal things. But the Levites were the ones that were in charge of moving the tabernacle and taking it down. And the first thing they took down out of the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant. That was where the Spirit of God dwelled upon the Ark. And so that's why it's a shadow of life and death. Your spirit leaves you, you are dead. And they would take the tabernacle down. And then when they moved to a new place, God would say, here's where you will camp. And so they would put it back up. And the last thing they took into the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant. That was the spirit that went back in. That would be like life, death, and life. Your resurrection would be when God puts your spirit back into your body and it becomes immortal. Then you are life. It's just, it's a shadow again of life and death. And in John chapter, and again, James says, you know, and so is faith. He's talking about the spirit. The body without your spirit is dead, and so is your faith. Faith without works is also dead. If you're a believer, we're not granted eternal life because we do things, but we are granted eternal life because of acceptance of Yeshua and his life on death on the cross and his resurrection. But if you're a believer, you have to have faith, and when you have faith, you will go and do works. You're not saved by your works, but you're saved by your faith. And when you have faith, then you will do works that glorify God. You will help and do things. I knew years ago I used to work with a young lady, and she used to tell me that, you know, you're saved by your works. And I always said, well, you know, then heaven's going to be a lonely place, because there's only probably going to, all these people that are billionaires and trillionaires that give all this money away, they're going to get all the best seats in heaven. The rest of us will just have to maybe stand outside and look in. I don't know. I said, you know, if it's based on your works, you know, they've got a group of 10 people. They give $100 million a year away. $100 million a year away. And this group, they've made a pact with themselves, and before they pass, they're going to give away half of their wealth, will be given away to charity. And they're like trillionaires. I mean, they're giving away $100 million a year. But you can see, if it was based just on your works, then some people would far exceed us. Most of us who make it from day to day, who work in an office or a factory, and it's a paycheck-to-paycheck experience. So we would sort of be left, we'd be on the outside. But it's not based on your works, because if you remember in the temple, when the lady gave the mite, the half cent, she gave all, more than the rich people who came in and filled the coffer full. They gave because they had. She gave all that she had. So that shows you the faith that lady had. And God, I'm sure, blessed her, but it's based on your works, not on your. If you have faith, then you're going to do something good to further the kingdom of God. And so we already talked about, when reading the scripture this morning, the gold, the silver, the goat's hair, all the fine stones, those were all used in the things within the temple. And of course, the stones were used for the priests, the hosen, the breastplate of the priest. When I was in Israel, I got to see that at the there in around the Temple Mount, they have the an antiquity section where they have the Temple Institute, where they have the guy that heads that is on the Sanhedrin. He's one of the leading members of the Sanhedrin, and they've recreated all of the things that with the table of shewbread, the priest's garments have all been recreated according to the biblical standards and what God set forth. So that's quite. I actually snuck a picture. They didn't want you to take pictures in there, but I'm not a camera person at all. But I maybe by accident, but I got a picture of the priest with all the garment with the garments in the breastplate of the priest. I got a picture of that. But it was quite an interesting thing to see the table of shewbread, the recreation of the Ark of the Covenant, which was gold, and then the golden menorah. I think it weighs several tons of pure gold, and it's a gigantic piece. It sits in a bomb-proof, bulletproof dome. You can go out and see that. Probably some of y'all have seen that on some of the things on the internet. They have that. But where did the Israelites get all of these precious things? You know, they were sheep herders, and they took care of sheep. And, you know, in Egypt, that was one of the lowest jobs you could get, was being a herder of the flock of sheep and lambs, goats, and maybe oxen or bison, things like that. They did not look upon those people as good people or people that were of them, because they thought the Israelites were below them. After all, they were their slaves. But when they left and Egypt at Passover, the Egyptians gave them wealth to leave. They wanted them to leave because they had been afflicted for 10 plagues. And the last plague was the worst of all of them, with the death of the firstborn. There wasn't a house in all of Egypt that was Egyptian that did not have someone who died, because every house had somebody at that particular time that was a firstborn based upon in the house that they were. So everyone had a death in their family. Can you just imagine the funerals that they had and the mourning and the grief that was endured as they all, but none, and they saw the Israelites in Goshen, and no one died there. They didn't suffer from the plagues. And so they thought, you know, we need to get these people away from us. So they gave. They gave all this wealth. And they built that tabernacle. Again, I said, you know, in the harshest of conditions. If you look at Mikdash, you'll find in Hebrew that the root word, it comes from Kodesh, which means to be holy. So they built this tabernacle, and they all worked on it. You know, and you can, you know, just in today's world, you know, you can build one of the most beautiful buildings that's called a house of God that you can see. But unless they that build it do it for the glory of God, it's just a meaningless building that is established. And you can look around the world today and you see a lot of beautiful churches and buildings and cathedrals, but they're very empty. They're very cold and barren because the glory of God is not in there. The people, it was built more for beauty than for the glory of God. If you don't build it for God, then the workers who work in vain. It will not be successful, other than it's just a beautiful building. But God's glory and his purpose in life is not fulfilled in that. It's just a meaningless place. That's why God said, build me a sanctuary. Build me a place that my presence can come and draw and be a part of you in the midst of you. In the first vessel that God instructed them to build for the tabernacle, of course, was the Aharon, which is that's what this called. It's the Ark. The Ark of the Covenant was the first thing that God asked them to build, and it was made of acacia wood. It was a box, nothing, just a box with a lid with the angels on the top, and the ark was made out of pure gold, and it was gold on the inside, which was unusual because they never raised the lid to look inside. But God wanted the inside to be gold, just like the outside. And that gives us, that's another shadow from God. What's on the outside should be what's on the inside. So he's telling us, You know, your facade, who you are, what people see you as should be the same as you that are on the inside. There shouldn't be any difference between what's inside of you and what's on the outside. It should be the same in God's kingdom. That's why it's important to always be prepared to present God in a very frontward way and let people know what you believe. And they don't know that's your heart. Again, where your heart is, that's your treasure. The root word for our own comes from the word, the Hebrew word ori, which means light. It's the light it contained. Later on, they would put the Torah in there along with some other things, and it contained the Torah, which is the light of the world. Everything else that came into the tabernacle was an extension of the Ark of the Covenant. Everything worked back to it. It was the centerpiece that was only seen by the high priest on Yom Kippur. That's the only time that he would go in and sprinkle the blood. And you know that the tabernacle, the part of the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies part that it sat in, we're seeing that the poles that were made were of wood, and they were overlaid with gold, and they would stick out the backs of the sides of the curtains. You could see the poles protruding. But I was reading, it said the dimensions were all the same. It was bigger than the place, but the place contained it. Again, that's one of the mysteries of God, how something bigger than the place, but with God, it being a place of God, they fit into that little squared room that was called the Holy of Holies. It fit in there, even though it was a difference. And that, you know, the angel sat above it, and we see in chapter 4 of Joshua prepared the Israelites and the priests to carry the Torah. You know, they each one of the families, the Levites, the different families in that tribe, they all had different jobs when it came to taking the tabernacle apart and moving it. Each one had a specific job. Some would take the poles. Some would carry the Ark of the Covenant. And remember, the Ark of the Covenant would always go in front of the Israelites. That was the standard that God was with them. And when they went into battle, if they didn't have the Ark of the Covenant before them, then they did not succeed. It was only when the Ark of the Covenant went before them did they defeat their enemies by the hand of God. And so that was the focus. The tabernacle, the whole focus was upon the Ark of the Covenant. And God says, "You shall cover the wood with pure gold inside and out. It is to be made majestic and regal." God wanted the very best. That's why he anointed certain workers to do certain things. They were given God-given abilities because they had no abilities until God gave them to, like, make the fittings for the stone, to work the gold, to work the silver, to work the bronze that went into all those different things in the tabernacle. They had to have supernatural abilities that only God could give them, because they didn't have the tools to work with things like that. So God gave them the ability to do that. And like I've already mentioned, the inside and the outside reflects our outward and inward appearance. It should reflect our inner self, and we should be true to who we are. Our outward appearance should be true to what we are on the inside. I mean, as a kid, my grandmother used to say, when you get in a dark room and cut the light off, that's who you are. You know, you can't, you know, you're in that dark room, that's who you are. You can't, you know, fake anything out. You're in the dark. Nobody can see you. And that's really who you are when you're sitting in there and you can't see your hand in front of you. That's the panim. That's the face. That's your face, your panim. It means the outside. It also means the inside. So we should always reflect, our panim should always reflect what's on the inside. It's opposite of facade, which is an English term. That means a facade is a deceptive appearance. It means you're one thing, but you're presenting one thing, but you're really something else when the facade or the mask comes off. And so the kapor, that was the covering, the atonement that sat upon that. It was a covering that was for gear, for protection. The two angels sat upon the kapor, which was the covering of the ark there. And the two angels, you know, there were two angels, the protectors. They were the protectors of the tree of life. I don't know if these two angels that guarded the Ark of the Covenant were identical to the two angels that guarded the tree of life after Adam and Eve committed sin. I don't know if it's the same two angels or not, but they had a flaming sword, and it was to protect the tree of life. That's another one of the mysteries. If the Garden of Eden was gone, then why did the angels need to protect the tree of life? There's more there than maybe we understand, because I think a lot of things of God are above our comprehension and understanding. We don't really, and one day we will understand, but that's down the road. We don't understand them now, so we have to come again in faith, a childlike faith. We must come, just like at Passover, the children hide the matzah, because that is finding Yeshua. Is you have to have childlike faith. And why is it childlike faith? Because children will believe what you tell them. If you say, I'm going to give you $5 on Friday, they're expecting $5 on Friday. They have faith that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. And so this sword protects, the angels protected that tree of life. You see, our nature, because we are sinners, we are trying, now God has to keep us from the tree of life because we are unclean, we're unholy, because our main drive in life, we're sinners by nature. And it's only through Yeshua's blood that we can turn our hearts and be true to Him. And see, the Torah holds that secret of the tablets, the utterance. The Ark of the Covenant contained the Torah. It was put in there. And so we see Adonai brings into the world Yeshua. He came later, and He became the Word, and the Word dwelt among us, and the Word became flesh. And Yeshua is the bread of life. He also is the tree of life. And that is where we're at today. He is our tree of life. And He, you know, hopefully everybody will come to know Him, but we know a lot of people will not accept Christ because they are into things of the world, and they don't really, they delay it, they put it off. They say, well, I'll do it later on when I get real old and decrepit and I think I'm probably going to die, then I'll probably take a look at Christ and at Yeshua and see if I'll give my life to Him. But that's the message for this morning. And it was the drosh. So I just want to remind you that Monday and Tuesday this week, if you love Israel and you want to help support Israel, we're going to fold and mail out the newsletter that Rabbi Joseph has written. So if you can come Monday or Tuesday, we'll greatly appreciate that. And I believe Carol said they're going to start around 9:30. And so I think I think they have pretty good fellowship, maybe a little bit of food, and it's a good time to work in sending out the word of the Lord. So if you love Israel, this is a great time. Doesn't cost you anything to come, just your time to help us. So we appreciate that if you can. Continue to pray for Rabbi Joseph as he's going through, I believe, some more testing that's going to be going on for some time now, and I'm sure he will keep us posted as he goes through that process there at Mayo Clinic. So if you'll stand this morning, we'll conclude the service, and we will pray the blessing over you, and then you can have a restful and peaceful Shabbat the rest of the day. And God spoke to Moses, Moshe, and He said, this is how you will bless my people when they come before me. And so when this prayer is played, God says, when I hear that, I'm going to come and visit you and bless you. And so God told him this. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yo Adonai panabelecha v'kunika, Yisa Adonai panabelecha v'yasim l'cha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and may give you peace. May he give you his shalom. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, we say Shabbat Shalom. God bless you all today. Thanks for coming.